From Minneapolis, Minnesota, and New York City, New York, the National Broadcasting Company presents the College Quiz Bowl. Here transcribed is the All-American Quiz Game that matches against each other the varsity scholars of two great American colleges in the College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, New York University, broadcasting from Washington Square in New York City, is out to challenge the five-week rule of the College Quiz Bowl of the varsity scholars of the University of Minnesota on the air from Minneapolis. And here in Radio City, New York, is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another battle of the undergraduate brains. Tonight, the University of Minnesota, having already set a Quiz Bowl record with five consecutive victories, is back to try for six. But right here in New York, though in another part of the city, are four students from New York University who have an entirely different idea. Now, let's go first down to Washington Square to meet this NYU team. On hand to serve as their referee is NBC announcer Rad Hall. Is the NYU team all set, Rad?
I would say they're definitely ready, Alan. I don't think Minnesota's Quiz Bowl record has any scare value whatsoever at NYU. And here to introduce themselves is the New York University team.
Harriet Weintraub, Brooklyn, New York.
Herb Savell, Astoria, New York.
Barbara Gelatina, Brooklyn, New York.
Bill Bernstein, Bronx, New York.
That's the team from New York University. Now, let's go out to the Minneapolis campus in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Ben Clayton of station KSTP is back on hand to act as referee for Minnesota. So, have you got your team with you, Ben?
Yes, sir, I have, Alan. Exactly the same Minnesota team which has come out on top for the past 5 weeks. Here they are.
Tom Clayton, Winona, Minnesota.
Roger Feinstein, Pelham, New York.
Colleen Helgeson, Excelsior, Minnesota.
And Jack Davies, Coleraine, Minnesota.
Yay! Bravo!
Now, will you give us the rules for this battle of wits?
The quiz is set up to determine how much these varsity scholars know and how quickly they can call upon their knowledge. And so, we have toss-up questions, and this is the way they work. Alan Ludden asks a question, and the first team to signal it has the answer gets a chance to answer. When NYU signals, you will hear... And when Minnesota signals, you will hear... By means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here on the board in front of Alan and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. Now, if the team winning a chance at the toss-up question gives a wrong answer, the question then goes to the other team. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question. Now, each question is worth a designated number of points. And the team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and returns next week to defend its title in the College Quiz Bowl. Well, that's the way the game is played, so now let's play it.
Okay, and that's the opening whistle, and here's the first toss-up question. May I tell you, the bonus question that you win by getting this toss-up question is worth 20 points. Are you ready? Here is our first toss-up question tonight. For 10 points, who killed Cock Robin? Minnesota.
Roger Feinstein has his hand up.
Okay. I said the sparrow with my little bow and arrow. I killed Cock Robin.
Oh, you said right for 10 points, Roger Feinstein. Okay, and for remembering who killed Cock Robin, a very erudite question for you College Quiz Bowl scholars, I must admit, you have won for the Minnesota campus and Minnesota team a 20-point bonus question. Now, for 20 points, I want you to tell me what you would be doing if you cut in the woofer, threw in the middle, and called upon the tweeter. What would you be doing for 20 points?
Okay, Roger, give it a try.
I'd be making yarn.
Anybody in Minnesota know better what you would be doing if you cut in
weaving.
The...
Weaving.
What?
Weaving.
No, I am sorry to tell you that you would be tuning or adjusting a high-fidelity set. Woofer is the bass speaker, tweeter is the treble speaker, and middle is the middle range speaker. Very, very hi-fi talk, that. Okay, back to a toss-up question. Tell us for 10 points the number of men who have held the office of President of the United States. I'm sorry. You pushed the button before I was finished. That therefore disqualifies the question. The answer was 33 men, including President Eisenhower. These 33 men, however, represent 42 separate administrations. Okay, here's another toss-up question. It's a musical toss-up. The musical toss-up, we're going to test your knowledge of musical composers with this toss-up question. Now here, you are to signal as soon as you're ready to tell us who wrote this song. You?
Bill Bernstein.
Would that be Cole Porter? Can you take it, Minnesota? Can you take it, Minnesota?
Jack Davies has his hand up.
Joan Kern?
I'm sorry, it was Duke Ellington. That was Sophisticated Letty that you didn't recognize. Here's another toss-up question. For 10 points, name the new permanent British delegate to the United Nations. No takers? No takers? Okay, I must tell you, it is Sir... All right, NYU.
Is it Manny McNeil?
I'm sorry. Can you take it, Minnesota?
No, I'm afraid we can't, Alan.
All right, I will tell you. It is Sir Pearson Dixon, who has recently been appointed to replace Sir Gladwin Jebb. All right, here we go with another toss-up question for 10 points. Where did James Morrison Morrison of children's fiction tell his mother not to go? No takers? Well, I'm having a great time tonight. If you remember A.A. Milne's When We Were Very Young, he said, "You must never go down to the end of the town without consulting me." That was James Morrison Morrison from When We Were Very Young. All right, here we go with another toss-up question. Jose Ferrer is currently appearing on Broadway in a play titled The Shrike. Now, for 10 points, can you tell us what a shrike is? NYU.
It's a predatory bird.
Right for 10 points, NYU. And for getting that question, you have a chance now at a 30-point bonus question. 3 parts. 10 points each. We want you to tell us for what purposes the following women employed their womanly skills. First of all, and for 10 points, tell us what purpose Penelope employed her womanly skills.
She was a weaver.
She was a weaver, that's right. You remember what she did?
Yeah, she wove a rug or something of a cloth while Ulysses was out.
That's right.
And every night when the suitors were in bed, she unraveled it.
Yeah, who's talking?
Herb Savelle.
Herb Savelle down in Washington Square at NYU, huh? Okay, you got 10 points for NYU that way. All right, now for 10 more points, tell us. In what manner did Lucretia Borgia, according to legend, employ her womanly skill?
She was a poisoner. She used to poison her enemies.
Yeah, at feasts. She would cook and serve wonderfully poisoned food. Okay, for 10 points. Now, tell us in what manner Madame Defarge employed her womanly skills.
She was a knitter.
She
used to sit and knit while the executions were going on.
All right, and you know what? In what novel did she appear?
Tale of Two Cities
by Charles Dickens.
That's right, NYU. What's the score, Roger?
Well, the score right now, Alan, is NYU 40 points and Minnesota 10 points with 19 and a half minutes to go. But may I remind you that each week NBC will award to the school of the winning team a $500 gift to be administered by the college. Now, it may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive, dependable Whitnauer wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnauer family of fine watches. Since 1866, maker of watches of the highest character. Well, those are the stakes, Alan. I've given the score, so let's get back to a bonus question or a toss-up question, and remember the bonus question follows.
Okay, Alan. The bonus question coming up is worth 20 points. Now, here is a toss-up question, and may I remind you to hold your buzzer until you hear the question. All right, here we go. A 19th-century English poet credited Cortez instead of Balboa with the discovery of the Pacific. Now, for 10 points, who pulled this historical boner? Minnesota.
Colleen Helgerson has her hand up.
John Keats.
Right. Right for 10 points, Minnesota. Colleen, can you tell me in what work John Keats made this historical boner?
In his sonnet, On First Looking into Chapman's Homer.
Oh, you're so right, Colleen. And you won for Minnesota there a 20-point bonus, 10 points each part. Now, what famous American policy, anybody on the Minnesota team, tell me, was launched with these words? The American continents are henceforth not to be considered as subjects for
Monroe
further...
Monroe Doctrine.
Who is that, Jack Davies?
That's right.
Okay, Jack, you're a history major, huh?
No.
Okay, the Monroe Doctrine in 1823. Now, for 10 more points, what precedent-shattering policy was initiated with this statement? I believe it must be the policy of the United States to support free peoples who are resisting...
Truman Doctrine.
You don't even let me finish my doctrine, but my policy, but you're so right. Mr. Truman went on to say, to support free peoples who are resisting attempted subjugation by armed minorities or by outside pressures. And that was the Truman Doctrine, as stated by Mr. Truman in March 1947, providing aid to Greece and Turkey. Very good, Jack Davies. Okay, let's go back to a toss-up question. Now, for 10 points, name the city which is the birthplace of Benjamin Franklin. Minnesota.
Roger Feinstein.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Right, Minnesota, for 10 points. And you got a 30-point bonus question here. It's a bonus question that could earn you 30 points, and all you have to do is know some music. All you've got to do is know some music. And incidentally, this music is music that has been written for overtures, but they're overtures to nothing. That is, they don't precede any larger work. They are unto themselves complete. Now, for 10 points each time, I want you to identify the music. First of all, an overture by Beethoven.
Leonor.
Anybody want to correct him?
Lenore.
Anybody want to connect him? Correct
1812.
Beethoven. Kofsky. All right, I'm sorry, you did not get that. That is the Egmont Overture, Opus 34, by Beethoven. Now, what's the name of this overture by Tchaikovsky?
1812.
Well, that you got for 10 points now. Here's 10 more points if you can tell us the name of this overture by Berlioz. Very exciting piece of music. It's an overture to nothing. Receives no longer work. Larger work. You don't know it?
I
guess.
Radetzky? No.
No. No. All right, I'll have to tell you that's the Roman Carnival Overture by Berlioz. Okay, we go back to a toss-up question, and may I remind you now to wait with your buzzer until I finish. We're coming up with a 40-point bonus. Anybody who gets this toss-up gets a 40-point bonus. Now, for 10 points, what young French girl was charged with disobeying her parents, practicing magic, and wearing men's clothing? NYU.
Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc. Right for 10 points, NYU, and you have a chance now at a 40-point bonus. Since it's love that makes the world go round, let's see if you can identify for 10 points each the following lovers. First of all, a lover from an operetta who agrees to have his head cut off if he can marry the girl he loves. Anybody on the NYU team? Who was that? He's from an operetta. Don't you know? Okay, I must tell you, it's from Gilbert and Sullivan's Mikado. Nanki Poo agrees to make the sacrifice to marry Yum Yum. Okay, you have still a chance at 30 points. Here's one for 10 points. Tell us, what lover, who is the girl who loses her mind and drowns when she's spurned by the man she loves?
Ophelia.
Ophelia from...
Hamlet.
Shakespeare's Hamlet, right for 10 points, NYU. Anybody in the NYU, tell me now. Tell me, who is it? She's a woman who kills herself when the man she loves leaves Carthage to continue his travels.
Dido.
Right. Who is that?
Herb Savelle.
Herb Savelle, that's right. Dido from what?
The Aeneid.
That's right. Okay, 10 more points, NYU, if you can tell me the lover who uses his eloquence and wins for another the woman he loves.
Cyrano.
Cyrano de Bergerac. Who wrote it?
Rostand.
Edmund Rostand.
And who was the who was the woman he was in love with?
Roxanne.
Right. For 10 points, NYU. What's the score, Roger?
Well, Alan, that last bonus question put NYU ahead now 80 points to Minnesota 60 points, and we have 14 minutes to go in tonight's college quiz bowl.
Okay, here's a toss-up question. For 10 points, tell us, what the term sauté means in cooking food? NYU.
It's a sauce, isn't it?
No, it's...
Well, can you take it, Minnesota?
Yes, Colleen Helgeson.
It's salted.
Oh, you missed it then, Colleen. You're not a cook, I guess, huh? It's browned or fried. It means browned or fried. Sauté means browned or fried quickly in a small amount of fat in a frying pan. Okay. Now, here we go back to a toss-up question. For 10 points, tell us, in what state is known as the Buckeye State? Minnesota.
Colleen again.
Ohio.
Ohio, right for 10 points, Minnesota. And for getting that, Colleen, you won for Minnesota a chance at a 20-point bonus. Now, you know, a turkey usually comes smothered in giblet gravy and accompanied by cranberry sauce. But for 5 points each, I want you to tell us, first of all, what turkey means in theatrical parlance. Anybody on the Minnesota team?
A dud.
A dud? That's right. Is that you, Jack Davies?
That's right.
I wish I could see your expression as you said dud. Okay, now tell me, anybody in the Minnesota team way out there in Minneapolis, what does it mean to talk turkey?
Man to man, tell the truth. Talk business through to the point. Candidly.
That's right. To talk turkey, to talk terms. That's right. To talk candidly. That's right for 5 points. Now, for 5 more points, tell me what kind of turkey cold turkey is.
Something that's passé, isn't it?
No. That's one kind of bird you don't know, golly.
Oh.
Wait a minute, we do.
What is a cold turkey?
It's when it's in the bag.
That's right, it's a sure thing, right, for 5 points. Now, for 5 more points, what is a turkey trot?
It's a type of dance.
That's right, for 5 points. Okay, and here we go back to a toss-up question. Now, the big three leaders are now meeting in Bermuda. For 10 points, can you name the famous meeting place where Churchill...
Oh, I'm sorry, Alan, but it's halftime. Can you take that question back? Because it's halftime, and that means it's time for 1 minute out.
Okay, and you know, I'm going to go back to this toss-up. That's good. We interrupt the toss-up, but not before the question. Now we got 1 minute here, and I'd like to talk for 30 seconds, first of all, to Bill Bernstein on the NYU team. Bill Bernstein, I want you to tell me, you know, a lot of people throughout the country believe that NYU, New York University, is a city-sponsored institution, and that's an error, isn't it?
That's right, Alan. NYU is a private institution that receives its money from private contributions and from private endowments. The primary source of income comes from the alumni. Now, you can contrast our school with schools like State University and City College, which receive their money from... the city council and the state legislature.
Yours comes voluntarily from your alumnus.
That's right.
And do you have any current means of support?
Well, beside that, not that we know of, no.
I see. Well, that's very interesting, and I'm sure a lot of people like to know the facts in this case. Now, I want to go back out to Minneapolis, and I want to talk to Roger Feinstein, our boy from New York, who has migrated out to the Middle West. Roger, I wonder if you'd tell our friends tonight about the several campuses that you've got out there at the University of Minnesota.
We have campuses all over the state.
You have? How many campuses do you have altogether?
4.
What are they?
The most famous one is the Mayo Foundation in Rochester, which is for medical research.
And that's part of your campus?
Yes. Then there's the University of Minnesota at Duluth, which is a liberal arts college.
Yeah.
And in St. Paul, we have the Institute of Agriculture.
Uh-huh.
And high above the banks of the Mississippi... Right here in Minneapolis, we have the sprawling main campus.
I say that's your 4 campuses.
Yes, and then we're establishing another down in Winona.
What is that?
For Tom Clayton and Paul Giel.
All right, Alan, it's time to get back to the quiz now. And with the score, NYU 80 points and Minnesota only 10 points ahead, 90. How about another toss-up question with 10 minutes to go?
All right, I'm going to complete this toss-up that was interrupted. Now, you remember the big three leaders are now meeting in Bermuda. Now, for 10 points, you're to name us the famous meeting place where Roosevelt and Churchill proclaimed the doctrine of unconditional surrender. NYU.
Was that Casablanca?
That was right. That was Casablanca for 10 points. NYU, and you won a 20-point bonus. All right, 20 points if you can tell us what two generals opposed each other on the plains of Abraham in the Battle of Quebec.
Oh, that was Wolf of Montcalm.
Anybody on the NYU team, and you all were ready with it. General Wolf, the British commander, and General Montcalm, the French commander. 20 points for NYU. Okay, back to a toss-up. Now, there's a series coming up here, 3 of them in this series, so wait for the third. For 10 points, what are... Royal Dalton, Paragon, and Minton, Minnesota.
Colleen Helgerson.
They're all makes of very fine china.
That's right. They're all makes of English china. You're right for 10 points, Colleen. Okay, Colleen, you won for Minnesota a 30-point bonus question. It's a 6-part bonus question. Each part is worth 5 points, and I'm going to tell you something about this. You've got to answer very quickly, Minnesota, so on your toes. You get a count of 3 to give me the answer, or you're disqualified. Now... The automobile industry has been quite fanciful in christening its different makes of cars. 5 points each time that you identify, first of all, the car named after the Ottawa Indian chief.
Pontiac.
Right, for 5 points. The car whose name means river crossing.
Ford.
Right. The car named after the French founder of the city of Detroit.
Chevrolet?
Cadillac.
Can I take it? All right, Cadillac. All right. The car named after the Spanish explorer who lived...
Pizarro.
Right. You got that boy quick enough. The car named after the animal whose natural habitat ranges from Texas to Paraguay. Three. Up. Jaguar. All right. The car whose name sounds, though it is not spelled, the same as a famous violinist.
Chrysler.
Chrysler for 5 points. Back to a toss-up. For 10 points, what fictional ship was wrecked on the reef of Norman's Woe? No takers? The Hesperus from William Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's The Wreck of the Hesperus. Another toss-up question coming. Jesus was a carpenter. Peter was a fisherman. What was Paul's occupation? Minnesota.
Colleen Helgeson.
He was a tent maker.
Right, Colleen, for 10 points. Well, Colleen, you won for your run for Minnesota a chance at a 30-point bonus question, and this is a musical bonus question. Here again, we're going to deal with the classics, but this time, they're jazz classics. And all you have to do out in Minnesota now is tell us the correct name of the music that you're about to hear, and you'll get 10 points every time you do. Okay, ready? What's the name of this great jazz tune? Anybody on the Minnesota campus? Oh, you don't know the bugle call, Rag? Okay, try this one. You'll get 10 points if you can name this jazz classic. Don't you like jazz in Minnesota?
Go ahead.
Try it. Nobody out in Minneapolis knows.
Four blanks again, I'm afraid.
When the Saints go marching in. Okay, what's the name of this great favorite with all jazz musicians? Well, you're going to strike out on this one. I've got to tell you, it's Jazz Me Blues. Okay, we go back to a toss-up now. For 10 points, out of history, what were the 100 days? NYU.
Those are the days between Napoleon's return from St. Helena and while he was in power before he was sent back to...
Elba.
From Elba before he was sent back to St. Helena.
I'm going to accept that. That's right. Who was that?
Herb Savell.
Oh, Herb, you're a history major, huh?
No.
History minor. Okay, you got 10 points there and you won for NYU a chance at a 25-point bonus. Now, a recent headline read, Chicago to get a haggis. Now, for 25 points... Can you tell us what a haggis is? What is a haggis? Anybody on NYU team? Any good Scotsman down there? What is a haggis for 25 points, NYU?
It's a pudding, isn't it?
That's right. It's a traditional Scotch pudding. You got it. I won't tell you how you make it. It's a very gruesome recipe, and we won't go into it right now, but it's a traditional Scotch recipe. Should I tell them? All right. It's made out of... what is it made? Sheep's or calf's... entrails, huh? We'll leave it there. All right. Here we go. Back to a toss-up question. What's the score, Roger, incidentally?
The score will sure in the gallery. I think NYU has climbed ahead with 145 points. Minnesota's trailing only by 10 points, 135, and we have 5 minutes to go in the quiz. Alan.
Oh, well, then, here we go. The toss-up question for 10 points. Name the capital city of Turkey, Minnesota.
Colleen Helgeson.
Ankara.
Right for 10 points. Now you won for Minnesota, Colleen, a chance at a 25-point bonus. Here is a very famous literary epitaph. Quote, beneath this tree lies the body of John Oakhurst, who struck a streak of bad luck on the 23rd of November, 1850, and handed in his checks on the 7th of December, 1850. Now this is the epitaph of the hero of what famous American short story?
The Outcast of Poker Flat by Bret Hart.
Oh, Colleen, you hit it right on the nose for 25 points. Here we go back to a toss-up question for 10 points. In what work of fiction is there a character named Mr. Worldly Wiseman? Minnesota.
Colleen Helgeson has her hand up again.
Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan.
Oh, Colleen, you're taking it tonight. That's right for 10 points. And you won for the Minnesota campus a 20-point bonus. Now, the murder of a famous married couple by Cravillo Princip will long be remembered by the world. And for 20 points, we want you to tell us who the couple were and why we will remember the event.
It was the Archduke of Austria and his wife.
That's right.
And the man who killed him was sort of the spot that started the First World War.
You're so right. That was why we remember the event. 20 more points for Minnesota. What's the score now, Roger?
Well, Minnesota's climbed ahead, Alan. They are now even 200 points to NYU's 145 points. We have 3 minutes to go in tonight's quiz.
All right, here we go for 10 points. What man with an ovine name wrote an essay about cooked pork? Minnesota.
Jack Davies.
Lamb.
Right, Charles Lamb. That's right. For 10 points, Minnesota, he wrote an essay upon the dissertation upon roast pig. Charles Lamb with an ovine name. You won, Jack Davies, a chance for Minnesota at a 25-point bonus question. Now, for 10 points, by what more familiar name do we know the painting La Gioconda?
Mona Lisa.
Right, Colleen. Now, you'll get 15 points if you can name the composer of the opera La Gioconda.
Ponchielli.
Ponchielli. Oh, Colleen, that's 25 more points in Minnesota. What's the score now, Roger?
Score, Minnesota 235, NYU 145. 2 minutes to go.
Here we go with a toss-up for 10 points. Who used the pseudonym Richard Saunders? NYU.
Washington Irving.
Washington. Can you take it, Minnesota?
Four blanks.
Four blanks.
Richard Saunders.
Richard Saunders was the name, yes. The answer was...
Hillary Queen.
No, Benjamin Franklin. All right, here we go for 10 points. Name, the supreme allied commander of NATO forces in Europe. NYU.
General Eisenhower. Oh, Ridgway.
Can you take it, Minnesota? General Alfred Grunther. Here we go with a 10-point question. 10-point bonus toss-up question. Gainsborough painted the Blue Boy. Who painted the Little Red Boy? Minnesota.
Colleen Helgeson again.
Velasquez.
Can you take it, NYU? Can you take it? Goya.
No, we're befuddled.
Goya painted the Little Red Boy. All right. Her maiden name was Marion Tweedy. Her married name was Mrs. Bloom. For 10 points, in what work of literature does she appear? NYU.
Ulysses by James Joyce.
Right for 10 points, NYU. And here you are with a 30-point bonus question. For 30 points, tell us the difference between Girondist and Girondeau.
They were the reactionary and the radical forces in the French Revolution that were centered in Paris.
Right, that's the Girondist. Now, for 15 more points, can you tell us what Girondeau is? What a Girondeau?
To dance, isn't it?
It is a... I'm sorry, you've got 15 points there. You got half of that. You got half of that possible 30-point bonus. A girondole is an ornamental candle holder with a type of plume ornament. Okay, here we go back to a toss-up question. Tell us, what would you order when you select puree on a menu? Minnesota.
Colleen Helgeson.
It's a cream dish.
That's right, a pip sieve soup. Well, you redeemed yourself, Colleen. 10 points for that. Okay, you won for Minnesota there, a 20-point bonus question. First of all, for 5 points, give the name of the land of the tiny people in Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift.
Lilliput.
Now, for 15 points, can you...
Oh, I'm sorry. That's it. Time's up, Alan. The game's over for this week. The final score in tonight's College Quiz Bowl is 170 points for NYU and 250 points for Minnesota, the sixth all-time winner in the Quiz Bowl. To each member of the NYU team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Whitnauer wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnauer family of fine watches. Since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. For fielding the winning team tonight, the University of Minnesota will receive a $500 gift to be administered by the college. And these varsity scholars from Minnesota will return again next week to compete in this new All-American quiz game with the varsity scholars of Notre Dame University at South Bend. Now here once again is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Now may I congratulate the six-time winner, Minnesota, and may I say to the wonderful team from NYU, Harriet Weintraub, Barbara Delatiner, Herb Savelle, and Bill Bernstein, you did a great job, and it's been wonderful having you here. Next week, Minnesota meets Notre Dame, and in the weeks to follow, we'll have varsity scholars from the University of Georgia, Brown University, the University of Michigan, and other outstanding colleges and universities all over the nation. So I hope you'll be with us again next week and every week for an exciting quiz game here in the College Quiz Bowl. Now, this is Alan Ludden saying see you tomorrow on Weekend, and so long, everybody.
Your referees tonight were for New York University, Rad Hall of NBC New York, and for Minnesota, Ben Layton of station KSTP in Minneapolis. College Quiz Bowl is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production, originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed, directed by Ken McGregor. This is NBC.